Good day, tokers and tokettes. Radical Russ here at the 420 Radio booth on day two of the High Times Cannabis Cup in Denver, Colorado. It is Sunday, and about 1 o'clock in the afternoon, and who did I see walking in but one of my good friends from the National Normal Board of Directors. We've got Lenny Freeling here, and I'm not sure in what capacity you're with Colorado Normal.
I am a board member emeritus. Shall I move in closer?
Yeah, come in closer.
I'm a board member emeritus. I've chaired it. I chaired it through A64. Rachel Gillette's now doing a stupendous job.
Yes.
And I've gotten off the more active board and extended in other directions, including leap speaking and helping write a book, which we've called The Medical Legal Aspects of Marijuana, right now the Colorado edition.
Here, show that up for Coleco to get a photo of us while we're talking about that.
And I'm also a lifetime member of the Normal Legal Committee and generally an old fart that lights smoking pot. When it gets right down to it.
That's good. Normal Legal Committee, Normal Board of Directors, Colorado Normal Board Emeritus, and law enforcement against prohibition. So you've been fighting this good fight to end prohibition for a long time. And this book is the Medicological Aspects of Marijuana, and it's the Colorado edition, edited by J.M. Tiff.
Nobody can pronounce Jay's last name. I need to tape it and practice it. Tifjikjian. It's Lawyers and Judges Publishing Company. And we'll figure out a link.
It's a nice big hardcover book. About 200 pages in there?
300 something.
Wow.
And what we did that's so exciting is, although some chapters are more Colorado specific, like the one that I wrote on penalties, we have Paul Armenteno writing on THC science. We have one of our laboratory THC experts writing on testing for THC, the pharmacology of marijuana, the history of marijuana. It just goes through land use, real estate, landlord, tenant, driving under the influence, all the topics that all of us need knowledge. We need to go from Nancy Reagan, just say no, to studying, so we can say, just say I know.
Just say I know. You can learn it in this book, The Medicological Aspects of Marijuana. And that's the Colorado edition. Are there other state editions planned?
There will be. There will be. But Colorado is where we're working at the moment. So Colorado is where we pulled it together. As, you know, the free state of Colorado, we just like being first, I guess.
I guess so. And so we've got, you know, I saw the Colorado Department of Transportation was here earlier with their smoking car, which to me was a step up from not being a lab rat. I think they're doing a better job. What do you think of the public service campaigns, and what are you doing and your organization's doing to help people navigate Colorado legalization, aside from the book, of course?
As far as the education goes, we're feeding facts. We're feeding science with the help of Paul Armenteno and Normal and our other friends. So we're spreading the word, and the word we're spreading is the truth. I sound like a preacher, but it's Sunday, so I get off easy.
Yeah.
And I am a rabbi, so I could have gotten away with it yesterday. But the fact is, the educational campaigns are really improving. There's disagreement about them, but whenever one comes out, if there's anything that Colorado Normal has as a suggestion, a criticism, a compliment, we pass it on. We make sure we're heard. We're the voice of the consumer. We want educated consumers. We want responsible use. Except everyone doesn't know quite what responsible use means in this world. We're learning. We're figuring it out.
What about in Colorado, is there any move now for social clubs, vapor lounges, coffee shops, whatever we're going to call them? How's that going?
Since Colorado is a home rule state, it is the most powerful home rule state. What that means is that if a city has chosen to become a home rule city, they have tremendous political power. It means within the city, on things where there basically is no law, a private club, a social club, all the things that you listed are either ignored, legislated, regulated, or regulated against. What I'm seeing a lot of with the clubs, with the pot-friendly tourist hotels, bed and breakfasts, is for the most part, if they behave well, and they're just not going out of their way to burn down forests and the like, people aren't paying that much attention to them, and I would suggest that they're not paying that much attention to them because there's nothing to pay attention to. There is no problem. There's nothing to be fixed.
Exactly. And as we've been getting statistics in over the first year of retail market legalization, one of the things that caught both prohibitionists and reformers by surprise was what a large percentage edibles make up of the Colorado market, especially among tourists, and how are the educational campaigns going and the regulating of these edibles? Because that was a big concern for a lot of people.
You nailed the two key topics. One, we have to become more tourist friendly. We need to make it easier for tourists to vaporize or smoke if that's their pleasure. We are not there yet. I say the golden rule still applies. Treat it the way we did when it was illegal. Stay out of people's faces, be really private. And I have to say, because I'm a lawyer, former judge, and general asshole, I have to say that while that may be illegal, and I'd never say do anything illegal, I won't repeat myself. So we need to work on that. As far as the effect of that, what I would call an unintended consequence, a phrase I don't like, is that tourists and residents alike, if I'm in Durango, I have the same problem a tourist has. So people are turning more to edibles to solve the smoking, vaporizing in public prohibition. If they have the proper education, the timing is different, the dosing is something you need to pay more attention to because they do not take effect as fast. Self-titration, what we refer to when a person determines their own appropriate amount of dab, of bud, whatever, to have smoked. Self-titration has scientifically been chosen to be extremely effective and accurate as to how much a person wants to smoke and what they want to achieve. The opposite is true with edibles. I have found that the gummy bears, sour gummy bears, just say taste so damn good that instead of sticking to my nice dose of, say, two or three, I just eat two extras and then I have a three-hour gap. So we need to do two things. One, educate so people deal with the current situation effectively, safely, responsibly, and we need to become more tourist-friendly.
All right. And as legalization keeps moving on, of course, we got two new states, Oregon and Alaska, and everyone's looking to California in 2016, as well as Nevada, possibly Ohio coming up on the boards. And the opponents of legalization trying to slow this momentum want to point to Colorado and point at scares, things that might frighten the next set of states that would vote. And I see three things that they've been doing, and maybe you can address them. One is, y'all promised all these taxes and killing the black market. Neither of those things have happened. Two, oh my God, kids got their hands on edibles. And three, mayhem on the freeways, DUIDs. How has Colorado stacked up in those respects?
Okay, let's take those one at a time.
All right, let's start with y'all said you're going to raise all this tax money and end the black market, and
okay,
you didn't get that much tax money, and there's still people dealing weed.
The most clear number I have read is that the wholesale price of marijuana smuggled up from Mexico has dropped to one half of what it was. We are putting a dent in, a noticeable, demonstrable dent. We do, absolutely without question, have a problem with what we call the gray market. Too much being grown and being exported for profit. People are doubling and tripling their money. They're getting the crap arrested out of them, which is defense attorney I'm seeing a lot of. And the solution to that is very simple. These other states need to legalize also, and they'll solve the problem entirely. We're capitalists, we're not communists. As far as children, do you hide your Vicodin from your kids? Do you keep it where they can't get it? What about your pistol? Do you keep your pistol where your kids can't get it? Well, why in hell would you ever leave your brownies or gummy bears or bud or vaporizer or rolling papers? Get a little box and lock it. Get a big box and lock it. You're not going to smoke when they're present anyway. You're not going to smoke where they're going to smell it. you're not going to smoke when you're responsible for them and impairment might be an issue. You're going to smoke, or edible or whatever it is, responsibly. And part of that, treat it, as far as kids are concerned, like it was ammonia. The only difference is pneumonia or rat poison might kill them. The marijuana might make them paranoid and nauseous if they eat too many gummy bears, and then they'll be fine. Education. The final thing you asked was, had to do with DUI. Okay, the numbers on the roads are improving, not getting worse. What we were seeing now is an artificial, illusory jump in THC-impaired driving. What we're seeing in bulk are people getting pulled over, primarily impaired by alcohol. But instead of the classic, let's test you for alcohol, the cops are getting into conversations about, are you smoking, when did you smoke, when did you last smoke? And people are, instead of remaining silent, tending to be honest. And then they're getting charged with driving under the influence of drugs and alcohol. Now, as an aside, drugs, THC in particular, mixed with alcohol, works synergistically and does impair much more quickly with lower doses. For somebody that is just smoking, the enforcement has changed, and with the onset of mass blood testing for active THC in whole blood, we are seeing an increase in arrests. I think if we want to focus on danger on the road, let's attack texting instead of looking at something that may or may not. In fact, NHTSA came out with the latest study last week, saying that THC does not increase the chance of an accident.
Once we control,
that's the federal government saying this is not a problem. This does not cause problems driving on the road. Mothers Against Drunk Driving is on our side.
Wow.
You'll make the problem worse, not better.
That's amazing. Yeah, that National Highway Traffic Safety Administration study finally did, you know, it's something I had been pointing to for a long time, is how fair is it to say that marijuana smokers are more dangerous behind the wheel when most marijuana smokers are teenage or young men who are already, you know, more risky behind the wheel? And that's what they did. They dealt with that factor, that, hey, let's factor in the fact that most pot smokers are younger males, and poof, all those claims of increased risk went away. So that was a wonderful study. And when it comes to this, the studies, the reporting, and one of the scare tactics they got is the increase in the number of kids reporting to poison control centers for ingestions. I've always believed that's the fact that back in the day, if your kid got into the brownie, that was a crime you could get busted for. You didn't want to report that. Is there any indication that its legality is just causing more reporting of these incidences?
There's certainly more availability. There's a wider range of edibles. They're more prevalent. Edibles, brownies, for example, used to be a rare treat at a party amongst friends, as opposed to you walk into the store and buy the gummy bears and brownies and soda and whatever you want. So they are much more available. What we are seeing is ignorance and failure to protect children. The evil is not the pot. The evil is not the extract. What needs educating, what needs attention, is the parenting and a greater understanding of what the side effects of eating too much, I don't like the term overdose, but of eating more than would be a pleasant amount, a fun amount, a healthy amount if it's medical, what those symptoms are, what they mean, reassuring people that in 5,000 documented years in India and China, there is not a single death attributed solely to an overdose of marijuana. It appears to be, and in fact is, I will say, physiologically impossible. Could they get nauseous? Yes. Could they get anxious and scared? Yes. Do they need reassuring, comforting, attention? Yes. If somebody's vomiting too much, can things turn into a medical issue? Parenting requires attention to your kid's health. Don't be stupid. And if you don't want to be stupid, lock up your opium along with it.